progress toward democracy, the reversal of that progress will necessitate an immediate review.
That in reaction to the military coup in Myanmar. This is Wednesday, the 3rd of February, and this is VOA Asia. I'm Ira Melman. Also ahead, you'll hear the latest on the situation in Myanmar. The Myanmar coup could affect what you wear on your feet. Troops could stay in Afghanistan after a deadline. Democrats lay out the argument they're expected to present at Donald Trump's second impeachment trial. And a rodent predicts the length of this winter. That and more on today's VOA Asia. The party of Myanmar's detained elected leader Aung San Suu Kyi called on Tuesday for her immediate release from detention and for the junta to recognize her victory in November elections, a day after a military coup sparked global outrage. Libby Hogan has more.
A day after the Myanmar military staged a swift but bloodless coup, the streets and financial hub Yangon were quiet. Phone and internet connections were up again, and banks that shut yesterday as people rushed to withdraw cash reopened. But big markets and the airport remained closed. The question for some was how the coup would hit the economy, already reeling from the COVID-19 pandemic. Taxi driver Ong Than Tun worried how he will feed his family.
Business was slow because of the pandemic up until now, and then came the political conflict. Things will be worse for my family. In this political situation right now, people will be afraid to go out.
The coup followed a landslide election win months ago by Aung San Suu Kyi's party, the National League for Democracy, which the military has refused to accept, citing allegations of fraud. On Monday, the army declared a state of emergency for a year, crushing hopes the poverty-stricken country, also known as Burma, was on the path to stable democracy. General Min Aung Hlaing has promised a free and fair election and to hand over a power to the winning party without giving a time frame. On Tuesday, the military gave no information about the whereabouts of Suu Kyi, as well as other detained leaders and activists. The NLD posted a statement demanding their release and calling for the military to recognise the November election results. The UN Security Council was due to meet later on Tuesday, diplomats said, amid calls for a strong global response to the arrests. The US also threatened to reimpose sanctions on Myanmar's generals.
Correspondent Libby Hogan reporting. Monday's developments followed months of tensions linked to the November elections. Myanmar's military said there had been voter fraud, an allegation rejected by the country's election commission. The arrest of leaders in Myanmar, also known as Burma, is just the latest event at a country that has struggled between civilian and military rule and raises concerns that the nation's transition to a democracy has stalled. The United States is only one of the countries voicing its concern over the Myanmar coup. That story is coming up. These are among the top Asia headlines you'll find right now on voanews.com. The Tokyo Olympics chief says the games will go on despite coronavirus. A nearly 7,000-hectare wildfire burning northeast of the Australian west coast city of Perth destroys an estimated 30 homes and threatens more. More comfortable lodging is ordered for the man previously convicted of kidnapping and killing American journalist Daniel Pearl in Pakistan. Hopes dim that intra-Afghan talks will be successful. Separate explosions set off by sticky bombs attached to cars kill at least two people and wound five in the Afghan capital. Expanded coverage of these stories and more are on Facebook at VOA Asia and on the voanews.com website. This is VOA Asia. Myanmar's military seized power Monday, declaring a year-long state of emergency and detaining leader Aung San Suu Kyi, among others. VOA's UN correspondent Margaret Bashir reports international reaction has been swift and strong.
In Washington, President Joe Biden said the United States would now need to review its decision to lift sanctions on Myanmar. White House Press Secretary Jen Psaki.
The United States, I should say, removed sanctions on Burma over the past decade based on progress toward democracy. The reversal of that progress will necessitate an immediate review of our sanctions laws and authorities, followed by appropriate action.
China, which is heavily invested in Myanmar and close to the military there, merely noted events and urged the parties to appropriately resolve their differences. Regional bloc ASEAN called on the parties to pursue dialogue, reconciliation, and the return to normalcy. Gregory Poling, a senior fellow for Southeast Asia at the Center for Strategic and International Studies, said the military's power grab will be an early test for the Biden administration.
The Biden team is going to have to figure out how to calibrate its engagement with Asia with its preference for democracy and the need to put values and democracy back at the center of foreign policy. But the Biden team is also going to have to come to grips with the fact that it has very little leverage in Myanmar.
At the United Nations, Secretary General Antonio Guterres said the detention of Myanmar political leaders is a serious blow to democratic reforms, and he urged the military to respect the election outcome. UN spokesman Stéphane Dujarric.
The Secretary General stresses that the November 8th general election provide a strong mandate for the National League for Democracy, reflecting the clear will of the people of Myanmar to continue on their hard-won path to democratic reform.
The UN Special Rapporteur on Myanmar, Tom Andrews, said democracy has been overturned by the generals.
Well, it is. It's just outrageous. It's deeply disturbing.
European Union Foreign Policy Chief Josep Borrell strongly condemned the military intervention on Twitter and called for the immediate release of those detained and the results of the election to be respected, as did British Prime Minister Boris Johnson. The UN Security Council will meet to discuss the evolving situation. Margaret Bashir, VOA News.
Trade experts and analysts warned Monday that trade between the United States and Myanmar could significantly decrease in the wake of the country's military state of emergency. Since 2013, the U.S. and Myanmar have regularly engaged in trade under an agreement that ended years of sanctions from the U.S. The two countries traded roughly $1.3 billion in goods in 2020, up from $1.2 billion in 2019, according to data from the U.S. Census Bureau. The industry most likely to be impacted is footwear, according to Reuters. According to Panjiva, the Supply Chain Research Unit of S&P Global Market Intelligence, apparel and footwear accounted for roughly 41% of U.S. imports from Myanmar. Apparel makers L.L. Bean, H&M, and Adidas are among the American companies that rely on trade with Myanmar. According to reports from the World Bank, foreign direct investment in Myanmar rose dramatically in the 2019-2020 fiscal year, mostly from Singapore and Hong Kong, but the future of such investment may be less certain amid the country's political instability. Happening now in Asia, Pakistan began its COVID-19 vaccine drive Tuesday with frontline healthcare workers slated to receive the inoculations in the first phase. Beijing has donated 500,000 doses of the vaccine to Islamabad as a goodwill gesture to help the South Asian neighbor deal with the health crisis. Stay up to date with VOA. You're listening to VOA Asia. We are happy you're with us on VOA Asia. U.S. House Democrats are laying out the argument they're expected to present at Donald Trump's impeachment trial next week. Correspondent Sagar Magani reports.
It's their most detailed case yet for why the former president should be convicted and permanently barred from office. In a legal brief, Democrats say Trump summoned a mob to Washington last month, whipped it into a frenzy, and then aimed it like a loaded cannon at the Capitol, endangering lawmakers' lives. They're forcefully linking Trump's efforts to overturn the presidential election's results to the riot, arguing he bears unmistakable blame and must be found guilty. The brief aims to preemptively rebut defense claims that Trump's words at a rally before the riot were constitutionally protected and that the trial itself is unconstitutional. Sagar Magani, Washington.
The U.S. Senate will hold the historic second impeachment trial of Donald Trump. As VOA's congressional correspondent Catherine Gibson reports, lawmakers could decide to bar Trump from ever again running for federal office.
We need angry patriots to fill the house.
In the same hallways where rioters overwhelmed police just weeks ago, House Democrats on January 25th delivered the article of impeachment to the U.S. Senate, charging former President Donald Trump with inciting that riot after falsely claiming last year's presidential election was stolen.
We will never give up. We will never concede.
More than 160 people across the nation have been arrested and charged for their part in the January 6th siege, and hundreds more are under investigation. And the threat from domestic extremists remains urgent, the Department of Homeland Security recently warned, as a California man is charged for plotting to blow up buildings in Washington.
And Trump must be tried and convicted to ensure that no future president will ever think it's okay to incite insurrection.
Exactly 1 week after the riot, while Trump was still president, the U.S. House of Representatives voted 232 to 197 to impeach him. While some top Republicans have acknowledged Trump's role in the riot,
the mob was fed lies. They were provoked by the president and other powerful people.
Conviction requires a two-thirds vote of the Senate. Assuming all 50 Democrats vote to convict, that means 17 Republican senators would also have to find Trump guilty. Only five Republicans voted to move ahead with the trial against objections that trying a former president is not constitutional.
Republicans in the Senate are thinking about the potential role that former President Trump can play in Republican politics, whether as a participant or as a spoiler, and are going to vote based upon their sense of what the appropriate future of the Republican Party looks like.
Democrats are concerned there are not enough Republican votes to convict, and the Senate trial will distract from the first weeks of President Joe Biden's term. Some have proposed a censure vote that does not have any consequences, an option top Democrats have rejected.
Make no mistake, there will be a trial, and the evidence against the former president will be presented in living color for the nation and every one of us to see.
Trump's legal team has undergone several changes as he continues to claim election fraud. A simple majority vote could bar him from ever again running for federal office, but conviction is unlikely.
Nobody's been convicted, although some have been impeached. So this is really historic on so many levels, and particularly the charges. I mean, the notion that a president of the United States would essentially try a coup to remain in office when he has exhausted all legal remedies.
Trump is the only president in U.S. history to be impeached twice, and will be the first former president to undergo a Senate trial. Catherine Gibson, VOA News, Washington.
VOA Asia Facebook is the choice of millions to see and read the latest stories about Asia and the United States. Follow us on VOA Asia Facebook. VOA Asia is also on Twitter and YouTube. Subscribe to all of our platforms for free. See, hear, read, and share all the latest from VOA Asia anytime. VOA Asia is your trusted source for news, information, and great features.
This news from VOA Asia. Vietnam's health minister said Tuesday a newly detected coronavirus outbreak, which has infected 301 people and spread to 10 provinces and cities, is caused by the more contagious British variant of the coronavirus. All of the big stories come your way through the day on VOA Asia Twitter and Facebook. This is VOA Asia. International troops plan to stay in Afghanistan beyond the May deadline envisaged by the insurgent Taliban's deal with the United States, according to four senior NATO officials. the move could escalate tensions with the Taliban, which have demanded full withdrawal. Flora Bradley Watson has more.
International troops plan to stay in Afghanistan beyond the May deadline agreed with the Taliban. That's according to four senior NATO officials who said there will be no full withdrawal of the 10,000 troops stationed there. The move is likely to increase tension with the Taliban, who said there will be consequences if the deal is violated. One NATO official told Reuters the circumstances had not been met for foreign troops to leave. Kabul and some foreign governments say the Taliban has failed to meet its promises, pointing to violence that has remained high, while also accusing them of failing to cut ties with Al-Qaeda. The NATO source, who wished to remain unnamed due to the sensitivity of the issue, added that under a new White House, there will be tweaks to the Afghanistan policy. Last year, the then US President Donald Trump signed an agreement with the Taliban, which called for the withdrawal of all foreign troops by May in return for the insurgents fulfilling certain security guarantees. Trump hailed the accord as the end of two decades of war, but it did not include the Afghan government. Talks between Kabul and the Taliban have since stalled. What happens after April is expected to be top of the agenda at a key NATO summit this month. NATO spokeswoman Oona Lonescu said, quote, "No NATO ally wants to stay in Afghanistan longer than necessary, but we have been clear, our presence remains conditions-based." The administration of Joe Biden has launched a review of the Afghanistan peace agreement. A spokesman for the Pentagon said the Taliban had not met their commitments, but Washington was yet to decide on future troop levels, while Afghanistan's presidential palace did not respond to a request for comment.
That was correspondent Flora Bradley Watson. Happening in Asia, as the Biden administration weighs fresh sanctions over North Korea's nuclear program, the UN Human Rights Office says torture and forced labor are rife in its prisons, amounting to possible crimes against humanity. Stay with us for the latest news from and about Asia at voanews.com and all of our digital platforms. Immigrants are referred to as aliens in U.S. laws, but the term, seen by many as derogatory, could be soon replaced. VOA's Veronica Balderas-Iglesias spoke to those in favor and against the proposed change.
The word alien, if you say it to an American, to a citizen, it's not going to affect them because they don't know what it is to struggle with that term and the struggle to fit in, the struggle to prove yourself in the country.
Sayla Santiago was 2.5 years old when her parents left Mexico to pursue the American dream, immigrating to the U.S. She applauds President Joe Biden's proposal asking Congress to remove the word alien from immigration laws and change it to non-citizen, a more neutral term.
I get so emotional because it's just, to me, it's like, why call me an alien if I belong to you? I pay your taxes. I help your people. So I definitely agree that that's something that has to be changed because it's more than just a word.
Considering it derogatory, California banned the term from its labor code in 2015. New York City started taking action last year.
We're taking out the word alien and putting non-citizen wherever there is any type of legal document or official document that comes from the city, and also in any of our city charter. We have not had any lawsuits. We haven't run into any issues.
But there is fierce opposition in U.S. conservative circles.
It's a term that's been used by many members of Congress. In fact, in a recent Supreme Court argument, the word illegal alien was used any number of times, tens of times. So I don't view it as dehumanizing. I view it as descriptive.
Laura Rees worked in the Department of Homeland Security under former President Donald Trump, who stoked anti-immigrant fervor over the last 4 years.
Under federal law, any individual in this country who is not a citizen is an alien. And if the alien is here without permission, they are here illegally. That should be the end of the story.
Changing the word alien wouldn't affect the way U.S. immigration laws work, say advocates. But it would signal that America is still a welcoming country.
There are logical and legal ways to change the terminology and make it work. The word non-citizen would actually be more inviting and reflect the way our society actually is.
And that means something. Korean Glo Choi, who recently lost a temporary visa, hopes for a path to U.S. citizenship under the more immigrant-friendly Biden administration. He says eliminating the word alien is personal.
I hope it changes people's perception of what an immigrant is. Just because you're originally from somewhere else doesn't mean you can't call a place home, and it doesn't mean that you don't belong in a place.
If the change happens, Choi says it should be followed up by laws to help those who, for reasons beyond their control, are still undocumented in the United States.
Human rights has no borders. The idea of human rights is that you're born with it. I need to be not an alien in my own home.
Veronica Valderas Iglesias for VOA News, Washington.
Thank you for spending your time with us. We continue now on VOA Asia. I'm Ira Melman. Touching invisible buttons floating in the air may seem strange, but so-called spatial computing is a new way of interacting with cars, games, and even touchscreens. Michelle Quinn takes a look.
Navigation. What if you could control your car, turn on your oven, or sign your name by touching an invisible screen? Ultraleap, a British and California firm, uses ultrasound waves to create the sensation of touch midair. A camera tracks hand motions.
You can keep your eyes on the road. You can feel the button go click.
Ultraleap works with museums, car manufacturers, and other industries to create invisible screens in midair. And with augmented reality headsets to bring more information to people's experiences. With the pandemic, Ultraleap turned its technology toward touchscreens in restaurants and stores. Touchscreens that some people no longer want to touch.
People are becoming so much more conscious of what they're touching, particularly in an out-of-home environment where they don't have so much control over what they're touching and what may have touched it before.
The technology may take a little getting used to. In a car, to control music, temperature, or the map, there are two gestures to learn.
One is a pinch gesture, which is used for selection. And then the other one is what we call the drop the mic gesture, where you just release your hand like that.
The driver can feel vibrations with the gesture as if you are physically touching something.
You're feeling little pulses at each increment of the setting.
It's a new way of interacting with machines, touch-free and in the air. Michelle Quinn, VOA News, Mountain View, California.
According to the most famous groundhog in America, there will be 6 more weeks of winter, but not all the other wannabes agree. Correspondent Julie Walker reports.
Punxsutawney Phil came out of his burrow in Pennsylvania and saw his shadow, according to the Groundhog Club's Tom Dunkel.
It's a beautiful morning, this I can see, with all my fans viewing virtually, my faithful followers being safe and secure. Our tradition of Groundhog Day must endure. We have all passed through the darkness of night, but now see hope in morning's bright light. But now, when I turn to see, there's a perfect shadow cast of me. 6 more weeks of winter there will be.
Because of COVID, this year's event took place without an audience. Staten Island Chuck taped his event when there wasn't even snow on the ground and did not see his shadow, which means an early spring. Ohio's Buckeye Chuck also predicts an early spring, while Connecticut used a hedgehog named Phoebe, who agrees with Punxsutawney Phil's forecast, 6 more weeks of winter. I'm Julie Walker.
You've been listening to VOA Asia. Like us on Facebook, VOA Asia. Follow us on Twitter at VOA Asia. And find us on Instagram and YouTube at voanews.com. Thanks for being with us. Thanks to our managing editor, Diane Gao, and our VOA Asia team of Jim Stevenson, Keith Lane, Amy Heibel, and Doug Bernard. I'm Ira Melman in Washington. Please stay safe and enjoy the day ahead.